So next week, I'm going to be talking about how God speaks through our circumstances, and right now my computer won't start, so I'm wondering if he's telling me to not talk to you today. I don't know. Just kidding. I've got all the slides I need on the back screen, but for some reason, this thing likes to work in the first service and then not in the second service. And so the point is that we've been talking about God speaking and how he speaks, and he speaks in a lot of ways, and we've really focused the first kind of half of this series has been about these primary ways that God speaks, and we talked first about how he does speak, because you need to critically understand our God as a speaking God so that we understand our need to learn to listen and tune our ears to the voice of God. And then we talked about how all the ways God speaks are his Holy Spirit at work in this, and it is his presence in the world through the power of his Holy Spirit living in us, and we can know this voice and we can recognize this voice of the Holy Spirit. And I said in that message that all the voices we're going to talk about fall under this category. So it was kind of a catch-all that whenever God speaks, his speaking is through the power of the Holy Spirit. Even when we talked last week about the voice of the Scriptures. The Holy Spirit is the author of the Scriptures, and the Holy Spirit is also the one who reveal the Scriptures to you, and we use and we connect with the Holy Spirit through his word, and we connect with Christ through his word. Well, the same is true as we look at this next section. But before we do, I want to acknowledge that God speaks in many ways we won't really get into in its standalone message, but God is in the word, speaks through angels and dreams and handwriting on a wall to Daniel. Even a donkey talks in the Bible, if you didn't know that. But interestingly enough, that donkey talks to make sure that the man says what God has commanded him to say, because he's tempted to do the opposite. And so, and then we got a cloud and fire and a burning bush, and we have out loud. But these are just a rare few anomalies, if you will, to the normal general pattern we see in Scripture of how God speaks. And so as we move into this kind of second half of this series, we're talking about some of the more practical, down-to-earth ways that God speaks, but they require us to really understand how they can be the voice of the Holy Spirit. And so the most common way that God speaks kind of directly to us is through other people. God uses people and has used people throughout history to share his truth and his word and his voice. And in fact, I believe it is my job and part of my calling to speak for God and be a messenger for God here at Sunnyside and wherever people would let me have the opportunity to share God's truth. But keep in mind that everything we do and everything we have to say all comes from, again, the Holy Spirit and Scripture, who is the author of the Scripture. So even here in Proverbs, we read that without good direction, people lose their way. The more wise counsel you follow, the better your chances. And I think we all know that's true. How many of you have ever had bad directions or bad counsel or been given bad advice? I bet if I asked around, we'd get some real fun stories of bad advice. Well, I had some bad counsel or bad directions one time from a GPS. And if you've ever followed GPS, they're pretty good. They're a lot better now than they were about 20 years ago when this happened. I was in New Zealand, and we were traveling to a place we'd never been, and we plugged in the location on our GPS, and we set off. And I was looking at the physical map, comparing it to the GPS, going, okay, we'll trust the GPS on this. It doesn't seem like the fastest route, but it said this is the quickest way. But before long, we found ourselves way off the beaten path, driving up this really steep mountain on gravel, and I'm going, this doesn't seem right. Something's off here. Started to get suspicious. Come to find out, my GPS was set to the fastest route. Well, in New Zealand, any road that is not given a speed limit is considered 100 kilometers an hour. That's how fast you can drive on it. Well, you couldn't drive 2 kilometers an hour on this road safely, and yet the GPS assumed this direct over the mountain route was much faster than going around it on the highway. It wasn't. We had to turn back, lost some time. Bad directions happen all the time. But when we find and we listen for good, wise counsel, when God gives us his directions and we can learn to follow the wisdom of God in our lives, we can spare ourselves and we have the better chances of arriving where God would have us to be. And God's plan has always been to speak through the mouths of people. It's just all through our scriptures. In fact, the very scriptures have the fingerprints of humanity on them. And sometimes that causes us problems, right? We kind of wonder, why does God use people? You know, when Paul wrote the books that Paul wrote, you see evidence of Paul in them. In fact, some of the books were written by what you call an amanuensis, who would take down the notes, and their personality would come out in the writing and the text. And you're like, well, how does God give us his word with human fingerprints on them? Well, for whatever reason, God has chosen to let us have a part to play in his story. And he's chosen to let us be part of his voice and his messengers. And sometimes we receive that, and sometimes we're the deliverers of God's voice, even when we don't even mean to. And sometimes even God's word and voice comes through very unusual or surprising voices in our lives. But for whatever reason, God has chosen to communicate to us through even the frail and fallible voices of human agents in this world. Look at it in Scripture. It's a pattern we see. You know, in Isaiah 6, 8, and 9, we see this moment where Isaiah is seeing God, and the God says, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And Isaiah's response is, here am I, send me. And what does he say? He says, go and tell this people. The instructions to Isaiah are to go and tell, to be a voice piece or a mouthpiece for God. This is what the prophets were in the Old Testament. But really, anyone who is called to speak on God's behalf. We see the early church fathers who Moses is considered the author of the Pentateuch in the first five books of the Bible. And we've got these influencers who gave us God's word. And we've got the prophets, and we've got the kings, and you've got all of these people, you know, carrying on and teaching the word of God through human hands. And then you have Jesus, who became human. Even though he was still fully God, he was a human who delivered the word of God. And the disciples, the apostles that followed him, even the early church fathers, and you can just go on and on and on until you get down to you and I and our descendants, who will carry on this story, this message of God for the world. God uses people to speak all the time. And honestly, it doesn't take long, if you read his word, to see evidence of this. Even his last words before he ascended into heaven, before Jesus left this earth, said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and you will be my witnesses. You will tell people about me everywhere. It is what God has called us, not just to hear God's voice through others, but to be speakers of God's voice to others. We're meant to convey who God is. We're meant to be Jesus, you know, with skin on, as they say, or like the hands and feet of God in the world, but even his mouthpiece at times. And so, you know, we see this in the Great Commissioning of again, some of the final teachings of Jesus to his disciples were to go and make disciples of all nations. And he says, to teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. We're meant to carry on the teaching and the work of Christ in what we do and what we say. And so it's no wonder that if this is the call of God's people, then God's people will be speaking on behalf of him for the world to see. And that means to you and to me, that God speaks to me through you all the time. And I hope that God will use me to speak to you. There, if we are open to God's voice through the ministry and the service of his people, we can hear him speak often. And he's not stopped this. This is, you read Paul's writing, he says that this is part of the gifts of the Spirit. Again, this is, if you're wondering, can the words of others be the words of the Holy Spirit? It's written right here in 1 Corinthians. He says, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. That's what the gifts do. They help us and they help each other. And he says, to one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. And to another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. There are some times where God gives this gift to people to speak directly to us on his behalf. And we need to learn to know the difference. How do we know when God is speaking through someone for us? And sometimes the most primary way we're talking about is when we're the receiver of these words. When God is speaking to us, we sometimes have to go, is this from God? That's the whole point of this series, is how do we kind of triangulate and figure out, is this God speaking to me? Are these the words of God? And we'll talk about a few filters we can do in that. But what does a good receiver look like? What does a person who can hear the voice of God look like? We're going to go back to that story of David in just a moment, because David was a good receiver of God's word. Because a good receiver invites people into their lives to speak on God's behalf. Now, this needs to be something we intentionally do. David did this with Nathan. Nathan was considered God's prophet, and a prophet, by definition in the Bible, is God's mouthpiece. They speak on behalf of God. What a privilege, but what a daunting task. In fact, many of them were often not liked because of the things they said on God's behalf, because God's message was often, you know, get your act together, smarten up, stop doing these awful things, right? Like, the message from God was often corrective or a rebuke. But what David did is he had this relationship with Nathan that was God's prophet, and he would allow him to speak for God in his life. I don't know about you, but I hope there are people in your life that you've invited into that kind of relationship, that you've invited to have an influence and to speak into your life. I could name so many people who have been God's instrument of speaking in my life throughout my years, and I hope you will find people in your life, and I hope you invite people into that. It's one thing to have them. It's another thing to invite them into that relationship. See, by coming into this service today, you have invited me to share God's word with you. You've given me that privilege, and I am honored by that, and I welcome that opportunity, and I appreciate that. But it is clearly, it's a heavy burden on me. I bear it every week. What does God want to say? Not what does Drew want to say. That's never my goal. What does God want to say to his people this week? But you invite me into that by entering in here today. And so that is one of the ways you can invite people to speak. When you open a book and read by an author, you are inviting them into your life to speak to you. Even what you watch on TV, we invite people in to speak to us sometimes that we probably ought not to. Let's be real. There's some stuff, there's some voices in our lives that we could probably do without. But who are the influencers? Who are the people we are inviting in? I think it matters, and who we're listening to matters. But the truth is that God can even speak through the foolishness and unwise. And I've had many people speak to me. I've heard God speak through atheists. I've heard God speak through fools, and especially children. Man, children can be great at telling us what God wants us to hear. I remember times where my kids have said stuff to me that just was like, ooh, that struck deep, and they don't realize it. But I was like, God was saying, yeah, that's not good. You know, sometimes watching them act like me, I go, ooh, yeah, God's saying something to me, and it's a rebuke. And so who have you invited into your life to speak God's words? Yes, God can speak in many ways, and he'll speak to you, but there are some people that we just need to give this privilege and right to. We need to give that to especially faithful followers who have demonstrated a life surrendered to Christ. There ought to be people in your life that you say, this is someone I need to kind of, when they speak, I need to listen, because God often speaks to me through their words. But there should be evidence in a person's life that you grant that kind of wisdom and an opportunity to speak in your life. It should be someone that evidences the life surrendered to God. I put it this way in this filter, that if you think you might be hearing God's voice through others, then you should look at that person. Is there evidence of a life in obedience to God? Now, that doesn't mean if there's not, that God won't speak through them. I just said that, right? But it's a more trustworthy voice when you see it lived out, right? When we see people who are living faithfully in Christ, we can trust that voice just a little bit more. Now, everybody needs three types of people I'm going to talk about this morning that you invite into your life. And one are encouragers. Everybody needs encouragers, right? You need to have people who are on your side no matter what. They'll always say, you know what, that was a great effort even when it was a terrible result, right? Like you need the people who will love on you when you fail, and it's just great when you have those people on your side. And I appreciate those who are my cheerleaders in my life. I love that, and it's such an encouragement, and it's very, very valuable. We all need, moms are great at this, right? Moms just love us sometimes no matter what. No, I mean, not every mom probably, but, you know, that's just kind of that thing you see. And I always picture the American Idol mom. Anybody remember American Idol? Well, yeah, they're still on apparently, right? I haven't watched it in years, but American Idol always had this first first few weeks where people would get up and you'd see, they'd interview the mom or her best friend, and they say, oh, they're such a good singer. They have this amazing voice. I love to listen to them sing. And then they get up and sing. And they're terrible. Really, really, just really bad. And you go, what's wrong with that person that said they were great? Like, do they just not know? Sometimes people just love us enough to say you're great no matter what. They're good people to have in your life. But they shouldn't be the only people that you're listening to, right? We also need challengers. We need people who will call us out. And that's what Nathan represented to David, someone who could speak the truth of God even when it was uncomfortable. Everybody needs a Nathan. Everybody needs probably more than one, a truth teller, someone who will tell us like it is, who will correct and rebuke our sin and call us out on our junk. We all may, maybe we don't need Simon Cowell next, sitting next to us telling us how awful we are. But, I need people sometimes to say, that wasn't good. Now, I'm not necessarily giving everyone permission to be that, okay? Like, I don't need all of you to do, and you don't need all of everybody else to do that for you. But we need to invite people in that. And I think there's a real special thing that can happen when you give that permission to someone in your life. And the other voice that we need is the voice of authority. And these are the people that God has placed in authority in our lives to help kind of even create boundaries for us when we don't know how to create them ourselves and to speak into our lives wisdom. And this is a hard one. And culturally, it's not a real common preference to listen to the voice of authorities. Right now, it seems our cultural moment in the world can almost be described like a 5-year-old throwing a temper tantrum, like, don't tell me what to do. Like, that's kind of what I feel like sometimes. We have to be careful not to be sucked into that model of thinking, like, that we just don't want anyone to correct us, because correction, as we'll see in a moment, is a way that God shows his love for us. The Bible is clear that there are authorities in our lives to govern us and to be God's agents in our lives. And we really ought to respect that. We don't really like this idea of submission, but it's in the Bible, submission is mutual. One of the ways that we see this in the church is that, yes, God has placed me in a role of spiritual authority over the church. But before you go, whoa, you have no authority. No, understand that I am hired and I am responsible and called to be the pastor of this church by the membership, the local church conference, that the people of the church call me to that position. So I am actually in, it's a mutual submission. I submit to the local church conference, and then if we are all in alignment with God, then you are recognizing that God has called me to be the pastor and teacher of this church and to lead us. And so it's this mutuality that makes it work. It is not one person's the one in authority and the others are not. In fact, the local church conference is my authority in this body. And so even the board serves at the local church conference will, and that is what the way it works. And I like that model because really it's what the Bible teaches, that we submit one to another out of love and respect for one another. But there are times where you will be the authority, and there will be times when God calls you to be submissive to authority in your life, that God uses someone like Nathan to say something. I mean, David was the authority in this passage as the king, but Nathan was God's authority over him, and he recognized that, and he invited Nathan into that role in his life. Steve Moore says that God almost always teaches young leaders about authority by first teaching them about submission. I sometimes worry that we skip that step, but to be a leader, sometimes we all first need to be someone who is following and willing to be guided. It just makes sense. We're not often going to be to follow Jesus with self-declaration of our own will, like, you do it my way or the highway. Doesn't really resonate. Doesn't sound like Christ, does it? And so listening to God's voice in your life will almost always include significant moments of submission to authority. I won't take too much time on this, but I've seen this in my own life, where different authorities in my life have made decisions that maybe I didn't like. In fact, just not that long ago, when just a little over a year ago, when Kingswood as my authority and decided they were not going to renew my role and position, I at the time thought, well, what is going on? But I had to look back and say, this is one of the ways that God can speak in my life by having the authorities make decisions that maybe I wouldn't have made on my own, perhaps. And I recognize that the truth of the matter is, I would never be here if that hadn't happened. And so one of the ways God speaks is through others and the authority of others who make decisions sometimes that we won't make ourselves. And I'm grateful for where I am now, even though at the time I would never have seen it that way. And so the voice of others, sometimes another filter is that when we hear God speak, sometimes we have to ask, is this someone that God has given the authority to speak into my life? And if so, do I recognize this as God's voice? And do I give God the authority to speak into my life? Nathan had that authority, and again, David had to grant him that. You understand that this is your choice. We don't always, sometimes you just have to follow the authorities. You know, if the police say stop, I hope you stop, because they can do something about that if you don't. But ultimately, you know, in God's way, you get to choose. Do you listen to the authority? He doesn't force our hand, and yet there's something beautiful when we listen to the voice of God that he has placed in our lives. And the next part is that we see that David received this difficult word from God. He didn't just receive an easy instruction. What was happening was God was really correcting and rebuking David, who had made some pretty awful things. David's recognized in Scripture as a man after God's own heart, but here we see him failing miserably, doing awful things that really deserve his own death. His own pronouncement in the Scripture we read was that this man deserves to die, and what does Nathan say? You're that guy. You're that man. It is a difficult word that Nathan has to deliver. Sometimes I wonder if I was Nathan, how fearful he might have been to deliver this word to the king and what the risk might have been for him. But they had a long-standing relationship. And I don't know about you, but there needs to be people in my life who I know will not be afraid to tell me the truth, that will tell me what God needs to say to me. And I've had some wonderful people in my life who have challenged me on things. And as much as it is painful in the moment, I give thanks right now, and I give thanks regularly for those people in my life. And I hope you have those people that God speaks through into your life, because they are a gift. But we don't always see them as a gift, do we? Sometimes we see them as a challenge. When God gave this word to David, I want you to see his response. David confessed to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." Nathan replied, "Yes, but the Lord has forgiven you, and you won't die for this sin," which is what he deserved. "Nevertheless, because you have shown utter contempt for the word of the Lord by doing this, your child will die." There was dramatic negative consequences for David's sin. And sometimes sin leads to dramatic negative consequences in our life, and often God does not remove those consequences from our life. That is a very difficult thing to talk about. We don't like to think about sometimes the painful consequences. We wish that they would be erased. In fact, David pleaded with God to not follow through with this. Now, you have to understand something in Scripture, and I'm actually preparing a message where we will look at some of the difficult passages in the Old Testament where God, you know, seems to take life. And I want you to understand something. When you read the Old Testament, it's not a common, 24th century or current worldview. It's a worldview that is deterministic. In other words, all acts of God, all life and death is an act of God. Everything that is done is by God's hand. And so that's not to say that God didn't, Nathan knew this event would happen in advance. But also in the word, God is given authority over life and death. He owes us nothing, and yet he loves us and gives us so much. And so this is a difficult thing, and I don't have time to get into it. We just don't have the time to talk about it. But I promise I'm going to come back to that concept of God's actions in the Old Testament that can be very difficult to understand sometimes. But I want you to understand today that God is good. And even the things we don't understand that God has done are always for the sake of good. And so we if we think otherwise, we are putting ourselves in a position of saying, I know more than God, and we have to be very careful of that. We don't always understand, but the truth is David himself understood in this moment what would happen, and he embraced it. And I find that interesting. He actually welcomes God's voice into his life, even though it is one of the most difficult times that he would ever go through. And so what if we had that same attitude toward God, willing to hear what he would say, even when it's uncomfortable? I have the privilege sometimes of coaching people in sports, and when I get to coach, there's an interesting thing that happens. When someone, again, remember I talked about inviting people into community and willingness to teach and help you? Like, there's a very interesting thing. When someone comes in and accepts you as their coach, they expect you to correct them all the time. When I coach people, I'm always saying, no, that's not wrong. That's not right. Do it this way. I'm telling people they're wrong all the time, and yet people don't get offended by that. For some reason, when we invite people into that relationship, we accept it willingly. But when we don't invite people in, we just get hostile to that kind of approach. Well, God wants you to invite him into a coaching relationship with you, a relationship that says, I want to make you great. I want to make you into the person I created you to be. And in Hebrews 12:6, he says, I discipline those I love. Right? I even says, I punish each one I accept as a child. This is what God wants us to see him as. He wants to see his acts of correction in our lives as an act of love. Even in Revelation 3:19, it says, I correct and discipline everyone I love, so be diligent and turn from your indifference. See, the goal is for God to mold us and to shape us into who we were created to be. And if he rebukes you and he corrects you, it means he thinks you're still worth reshaping and saving, that he's actually invested in your life and cares deeply about you. I'll often use the example that, you know, we don't let our children do incredibly dangerous and risky things. We correct them and we hold them back and we restrain them from things that would harm them. And God as a loving father would do the same to us. But what a gift that is that he does to us. What if we could see that? What if we could thank God for correcting us? I believe this is just one of those mature views of Christianity. When we could read his word, when he says, you know, like stuff like don't be, stop doing this. And he tells us stuff that is hard to accept and corrective in our lives. What if we could embrace that and see it as a loving act of God? I really believe that it puts us in the place of a good receiver of God's voice. Look at how David responds. In 2 Samuel 12:20, David got up from the ground. This is after the child dies. And he had pleaded and prayed and asked God to spare the life of his child. And he does not. The child dies. What does David do? He gets up and he goes to the tabernacle and he worships the Lord. It's a very beautiful response to a very difficult thing. See, what David did is he took ownership of his own failure, his own mistakes. He doesn't blame God for what happens. He knows who the sinner was in this situation, and he recognizes that God is good. And so when we welcome God to be that, we become a good receiver. Be a good receiver like David. But also we need to be good deliverers of God's word to others. There will be times in your life, you may not think of yourself as someone who speaks for God, but if you are here today and you claim to be a Christian, you automatically become someone who is a representative, or the Bible calls an ambassador of Christ. You speak for God. But a good deliverer has to be someone who's first a good listener to God's voice in your own lives. And so if you are going to speak for God, if I'm going to speak for God, I have to learn to hear what God wants to say. And God may prompt you to speak at times on his behalf, and if so, you ought to do it. If you feel like God is saying you ought to say something, then please be obedient to that, because often it is a dramatic impact on those you speak to. But the first step to being an agent or a messenger of God is to become an excellent listener to God. Back to the submission and listening to God's voice and being surrendered to God's voice. When we are in that place, if we can let God be our Lord and Savior and guide and our King, then we are in the place to be a deliverer of that. Look at 2 Corinthians 5 just for a moment, where Paul says God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. I go back to the beginning. God has called us to be people who speak his words and his voice. It's an act of God. It's not our own act. It's the act of the Holy Spirit in the world. But he says we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. What a privilege and an honor it is to speak for God in this world. It is a beautiful thing when people demonstrate God to this world. And we have it should be a bit of a burden. I hope that you don't feel it as a negative burden, but there's a responsibility for being an ambassador of Christ to represent God to the world. One of my professors taught me this principle, and it's one that I say often. I'm sure I've said it here before, but what people think of me is nothing. But what people think of Christ because of me is everything. The third commandment is to not take the Lord's name in vain. That means don't carry the name of Christ and misrepresent him to the world. You speak the name of Christ by the way you live your life, by the words you say, by the actions you take. Everything, if you claim to be a follower of Christ and people know that in your life, then they are going to either see Christ in you or not. Now, I want to tell you a funny story. I remember one time somebody was telling me that they put, you know, those little bumper sticker fish they put on the back of your car? Someone was telling me about that, you know, that they put that on there to so that people will know they're a Christian. And then a friend of mine said, well, I couldn't put that on my car because I don't drive like a Christian. It's a simple illustration. I'm not judging anyone's driving, and we're not getting into that. I don't know if I drive like a Christian all the time either. But the point is, every action we take either paints Christianity in a positive light or a negative one. Even the big give's a great example of a way that we're going to represent Christ to our neighborhood. And it's important that people see Christ in us. And so if you are sometimes feeling prompted to speak for God and be the voice of God for others, then make sure what you're saying aligns with scriptures. That's our baseline and our standard, that it leads people to faithfulness. It should be uplifting and encouraging. It's not, remember, it can be challenging to someone. I've had to speak challenging truth to people, but with the goal of uplifting and leading to faithfulness. But then I also ask myself the question, have I earned the right to speak or been given the right to speak? Sometimes people will ask you. Now, not everybody who asks you for your opinion really wants it, right? We all know that. someone will ask me for my opinion. I'll be like, do you really want my opinion? Or do you just want me to say, great job? Like, and that sounds harsh. But the truth is, you know, not everybody really wants to hear what you have to say. But if somebody invites you into that relationship, that's important. Or if somebody's given you that relationship or responsibility, that's valuable. I'm not saying don't speak if they haven't given yet, but it should cause you pause to go, have I earned this? Do I have the right to speak into this life? And so as we wrap up, I'm going to invite the band back up. As we finish today, the challenge is to be a good receiver of God's voice. Yes, we need to be good deliverers, but to be a good deliverer means to first be a good receiver. Two great things happen in this story with David and Nathan. David was a great receiver, but Nathan also was obedient to deliver. And we need to be faithful to both things. Have you invited others? Are there people in your life that you invited to speak into your life? Maybe even while we sing, someone comes to mind. Maybe you need to whip out your phone, send them a text, say, hey, we need to get together for coffee. I want to talk to you about something. Like, that would be a great response to this message. Or maybe you just need to pray about it and ask God to reveal to you, who are the people in my life that I want to listen to and I want to have kind of reflect back to me some wisdom? Look for people who will be great directors and mentors in your life, and invite them in. Don't just expect them to do it on their own. I love it when people say, "Hey, will you be this for me?" It's permission giving, and it opens doors and opportunities to speak. Sometimes we want God to speak to us, but we're hesitant to invite people into that opportunity. Maybe there's just someone you need to reach out to. Do you need a challenger? Do you need someone? Do you have the person, the Nathan, who will tell you, "Hey, you're that man. Stop it." If you don't, then look for that person in your life. Maybe you need an encourager. Maybe all you've got are Nathans that are just, and you need someone to just say, "Good job." Then look for that. But what about authorities? Are you listening for how God might be speaking through those in authority in your life? Even those that we might call harsh authorities in our life, the Bible says to listen for God's voice there. I just encourage you to think about the ways you're hearing God speak in the world around you. Maybe there's some things you need to stop listening to. And let's respond in worship as we sing today and give him praise. Would you stand? Let's sing.